Welcome to Motopod, the internet radio show all about motorcycle road racing. This is episode number 499 for Wednesday, the 22nd of June, 2016. My name is Harry Lloyd, and I'm coming to you. That was once live from Barcelona. It's just me this week. Everybody else was a touch busy, and much like when you're going out for a long run, and you get halfway through your run and you think, gee, I'm a bit tired, and you decide to have a bit of a walk. Getting back running can always be a bit difficult. And I sort of had a bit of that sort of feeling this week. Having a week off Motopod was definitely a nice break. Definitely always nice to step away from racing in general, so that you don't know how good something is until it's gone or something like that. It was nice to have a bit of a week off, but now we are back to it and ready to go. That running analogy sort of fell flat on its face. It seemed a lot better when I had thought of it coming home from work today, but between then and when I'm recording, it fell apart. So hopefully the rest of the show is a bit better than that. As I said, it is just me this week. Unfortunately, Martin was flying helicopters and Dave is working and Len was in a hotel or isn't in a hotel or something like that. But anyway, the preparations for episode 500 are also well underway. That episode will be coming out after Assen. So Motopod's most historic episode will be coming out after MotoGP's most historic race. Of course, to everyone listening, racing in Assen will be held on a Sunday for the first time ever this weekend. So be sure to remember that. Don't tune in on Saturday thinking that you're going to be seeing racing. It is now the conventional Sunday. Back to what to expect from this show. As we said, we didn't do a show last week, so there are one or two news things to catch up on. Not a huge amount of news has been going on, as we'll get to a bit later. The real big blocks of silly season have now been settled, but we do have some interviews back on the show. A huge thank you to Scott Bolton, as always, for getting three excellent chats from the Moto America paddock. We're going to have a chat to Benny Solis, who is good friends with Jorge Lorenzo, Cameron Beaubier, who's obviously, I think he's leading that championship, or is certainly in championship contention, and was then also made his World Superbike debut, and then Cam Peterson, who's a South African running in the Supersport class. So three different riders there, and those will be right at the end of the show. Now, when Dave was over in Barcelona, we decided to do a bit of a looser format with the show, and that meant not thanking any subscribers. And because of that, what was going to be a very bit of a tight little show has now turned into an absolute monster, because there are a huge amount of you who have subscribed, donated, and also who continue to support the show every month with your donations, every week, and all that sort of jazz. So first of all, a big thank you to Craig Lowe and B Fetter Place for your new subscriptions. F Better Place would have been a pretty cool name. But thank you for both Craig Lowe and B Fetter Place for making Motopod a better place with your subscriptions. That was an excellent joke, I thought. Now moving on to the people who continue to subscribe, whose donations have come in since we last recorded a show with donations. A huge thank you to John Michael Allen, Mark Porter, Keelan Carroll, Philip Johnnies, Carl Marsh, Gary Shavitt, Bernard Summers, Colby Amand, Frank Lusciavo, whose name I can never pronounce, Martin Gurney, Daniel Brook, Thomas Vale, or Valet if you're a Valentino Rossi fan, Brian Elliott, Blue Bearings, and James De Pretoro. A huge thank you to all of you guys. And then also an absolutely massive thank you to Morten Johansson and Larry Jones for your most generous of donations. You can go to the motopodcast.com website, and on the left-hand side of the page, there is a PayPal link. The donations that that Morten Johansson and Larry Jones made, those are one-time donations. And then that huge list of subscribers and recurring subscribers, those are subscriptions that basically automatically donate a set amount of money to Motopod each month. And I can't thank everyone out there enough. Just seeing all the names written down there, that's not even all of the people who do donate. Obviously, the donations do come in at different times, but those are all the ones who have come in since we last did a show with donations. And I can't thank you all enough. Doing Motopod is obviously a huge pleasure. It's pretty crazy that people out there want to listen to me, myself, Dave, I don't know why I mentioned myself twice there. Anyway, Dave and Martin and everyone else who is on the show ramble about our thoughts on motorcycle racing. So a huge thank you for, you know, just listening. And then obviously a massive thank you to everyone who does donate and does allow us to go to things like the Qatar test and to bring Dave over to Qatar. And then Dave also will be at Silverstone. So expect some more interviews from there as well. As we said, we are working on episode 500. Dave got some interviews in Barcelona. And then Scott Bolton also got a pretty special little interview for us at, I believe it was Road Atlanta. I can't remember the exact round, but a huge thank you to Scott Bolton for that one. So now moving into the news. As I said, there has been a little bit. We'll start with some of the smaller stories before we get to the bigger one. Jorge Lorenzo has announced that all but one of his crew will be remaining at Yamaha when he makes the move over to Ducati. Roman Forcada, who is his crew chief, has also worked with, I believe, Carlos Checa and Casey Stoner. Roman will be staying and working with Maverick Viñales. So Viñales is coming into a very established team, which, you know, should help Viñales a lot in that factory Yamaha team. The one mechanic going with Lorenzo is his longtime mechanic, Juan Lanza, who has been with Lorenzo since, I think, about 2003, when Lorenzo was racing in the 125s. That mechanic has several Jorge Lorenzo tattoos, and you'll usually see him. He's usually one of the guys holding the bikes for Lorenzo and Parc Fermé, sort of in a similar role to what Brent Stevens from the Valentino Rossi team does. So, yeah, you know, if you Google him, you probably should know what he looks like. As for who Jorge Lorenzo's crew chief will be, it's not yet known. It could be Casey Stoner's old crew chief, whose name escapes me, Gamberini. Or it could also be, again, the name escapes me. It used to be Cal Crutchlow's crew chief, is now working with Petrucci in Octo Pramac, and used to work in Yamaha with Colin Edwards before that. He's bald. What's his name? Romagnoli. That's it. There we go. Got the names in the end. So Lorenzo, a couple of options there for crew chief. Crew chiefs, certainly Casey Stoner's crew chief. You know, he's also worked with Jack Miller. That would be quite a good one. I'm not sure what he's currently up to. I think he's actually still working with Jack Miller. So that would actually be a bit of a blow for Jack Miller. Not sure if he's tied up in a Honda contract, but definitely something to keep an eye on. You know, not only is Lorenzo changing bikes, but he's also changing crews, which can also be a bit upsetting. And also, slightly smaller news, as I said before we get on to the big stuff, Randy Krumenacker had his shoulder operated on because he had broken it in, where was it, in Assen. So he had raced four races with a cracked rotator disc or cuff, I think it was. So Randy Krumenacker, a pretty hard dude there for racing with a bone that was sort of moving around all the time. And, you know, getting some pretty respectable results given the circumstances. So he used the quite long World Superbike summer break to get that operated on. Obviously, World Supersport and Superstock don't head to Laguna Seca with the big boy class. So that's why he has had that now. And now moving on to some of the bigger signing news we've had. Tom Sykes has confirmed, somewhat surprisingly actually, that he will be staying with the Kawasaki team for the next 2 years. There had been a lot of rumours that Tom Sykes would be going to the factory Ducati squad to most likely partner Chaz Davies. And that seemed quite plausible to me. You know, Sykes and Jonathan Rea haven't had the best relationship, I don't think. I'm not sure if they enjoy stirring at each other, but they certainly do poke at each other a little bit. And I thought that maybe Tom Sykes would try and go for a bit of a scenery change. And, you know, Davies has proved that Ducati is competitive. Plus, who wouldn't like to hear Tom Sykes say Ducati, or however he pronounces it, every week? That'd be quite good. But yeah, Sykes is staying for Kawasaki. So now in terms of factory seats in World Superbikes, that sort of only leaves one Ducati seat open, and Giuliano's seat, I believe, is under quite a bit of threat. Giuliano's come on quite strong now in these recent races, but he had an absolutely disastrous start to the year, so I wouldn't be surprised if he gets replaced. I'm pretty sure that they're going to keep Chaz Davies, and I'm pretty sure that Chaz Davies is going to stay. Obviously, the Kawasaki team's now full. Those are the two best teams Honda, they'll obviously have Nicky Hayden next year. Michael Vandermark, he's a bit of a question mark. All of the BMW teams, they're a bit of a question mark, but they're not really factory teams. Yamaha, again, are a bit of a question mark. There's been ever-growing rumours that Marco Melandri will make his return to the World Superbike paddock, either with the Paddy Yamaha squad. You know, when it was announced that Yamaha would be coming back to World Supers, Marco Melandri was the first name thrown around, but then that sort of fell by the wayside. He's also been linked to a Puccetti. How do you pronounce it? Squad. The Puccetti squad currently run Keenan Sefuoglu and Randy Krumenacker in Supersport and would be looking to move up to the Lita class with Krumenacker and then maybe with Marco Melandri. And then Melandri's also been linked to that other Ducati seat. So yeah, not sure what's going to happen with Marco Melandri. He's been racing motocross in Italy this season. So yeah, who knows what will happen with him? Who knows if he'll even still be quick? Marco Melandri, one of the bigger mysteries in MotoGP. And speaking of MotoGP, we have the final major puzzle piece in the 2017 and onwards silly season, as Alex Rins on Monday announced that he would be joining Suzuki for the 2017 and 2018 seasons alongside Andrea Iannone. This has left Alicia Spargo a bit out in the cold. Alicia Spargo, as ever, had some great comments on social media about, you know, he's hoping to find a team that loves him, basically, and he just wants his special forever home like any poor orphaned puppy would. The hot rumour is that Alicia Spargo would go to Aprilia alongside Sam Lowes, which would then mean that Bautista and Stefan Bradl would be looking for rides. You know, maybe they look at something like Avintia or maybe even World Superbikes. Bradl's obviously German, so the BMW connection could be quite strong there. Don't know about that one. But yeah, with that, we basically have all of our factory rides for next year sorted. For next year and 2018, actually, every factory ride, unless I'm mistaken, is a two-year contract. So we have Valentino Rossi and Maverick Vinales in the Movistar Yamaha squad. I think that team's going to be very, very strong. And I'm really excited to see what Maverick Vinales can do after a couple of races. I don't think that he'll be challenging for the title right off the bat, but give it a year or two, and I think he could. But for me, probably the most exciting prospect of 2017 is what Jorge Lorenzo and Andrea Dovizioso, but mostly Jorge Lorenzo, can do in that factory Ducati squad. We know that Jorge Lorenzo is a huge talent. You know, love him or hate him, I don't think you can deny the sheer talent that Jorge Lorenzo has on a motorcycle. You know, like Wayne Rainey, he's just absolutely inch perfect. Will that translate over to the Ducati? I don't know. Jorge Lorenzo has obviously only ever ridden Yamahas in the Premier class. He's never ridden anything else in MotoGP. So it'll be a big challenge for him. And then, you know, we also said that the whole crew thing and learning that. I think that the Ducati bike itself is capable of winning races, certainly in the early part of the season. You know, we saw Dovi and Iannone so strong in Qatar, and I think that Iannone maybe could have won that race if he hadn't thrown it down the road. And then as for Dovi, it's that classic thing with Dovi, right? Is Dovi's a great rider. He's really, really, really good, but he's not an excellent rider. And, you know, we've said it a lot. I don't think that Dovi has just that tiny, tiny edge to really challenge for a championship. But I think he'll be the perfect number two guy for Jorge Lorenzo. And I'm so, so excited to see what Lorenzo can do on the Ducati. You know, not just because it's Lorenzo, not just because it's Ducati, but, you know, he's doing something that so many other riders have tried to do and have failed to do. Sure, Ducati's in a very different place to how it is now. But, you know, if he could tame that Ducati, I think that would certainly be quite a big feather in his cap. You know, obviously hardcore fans like us that listen to Motorpod and things know that there's one or two stipulations with him going to Ducati now as opposed to, say, Rossi or Melandri going to Ducati when they went to Ducati. But I still think it would be an impressive feat. And, you know, winning on multiple machines would put him up there with the true elite of the Premier class, and would definitely cement his status as a future MotoGP legend. I think that even now, Jorge Lorenzo is dead set for a MotoGP legend medal. So there's Ducati, the factory Honda team, Repsol Honda. They will stay unchanged with Marc Marquez and Danny Pedrosa next year. Can Pedrosa challenge for a title? That's a big question mark. I think that it's growing, unfortunately, ever less likely with each year. But so much of it depends on what Honda can do with that bike. You know, in Barcelona, we saw that Dani Pedrosa still has the speed, maybe not to challenge for victory, but he has the speed to challenge for the podium, even when that bike still isn't perfect. But I think if they can get a good bike under, certainly under Marc Márquez, if they can get an agreeable bike under Márquez, then he could challenge for the title. I think that, in all honesty, I think that Marc Márquez has the edge this year for the title, especially if he can just manage to keep it upright and protect that 10-point gap. But it's still very early, and I'll almost certainly be wrong. But yeah, Honda will be interesting to see. I mean, not hugely exciting there. I'm definitely more excited to see what Yamaha and Ducati do. So then those are the big three factories. Then at Suzuki, we do have the pairing of Alex Rins and Andrea Iannone. That one's a big question mark for me. You know, after last year, Andrea Iannone really seemed like the next big Italian hope. But then this year in 2016, it seems like he's switched his brain back to Moto2 mode, where he's incredibly aggressive, great to watch battle, but sometimes he's just not there on the weekend, or sometimes he's just an absolute idiot and plows into other riders, as we've seen. You know, it's not just the Lorenzo and the Dovi incident. You know, if you watch back the start of the Argentina round, when I think it was Marc Márquez's rear camera that he took out because he was very, very aggressive into that first corner. Yeah, I don't know. Andrea Iannone, he's a huge question mark. It seems like this move with Suzuki, it seems like the current Suzuki team of Alicia Spargaro and Maverick Vinales is very much like the Hopper-Vermeulen pairing that Suzuki had way back when. If that was a really, really strong pairing for Suzuki, and he knew that both of those guys could pretty consistently be in the top 10, and, you know, if it was a wet race, then absolutely beaut, and you're probably going to have Chris Vermeulen win. But it seems like the step to Andrea Iannone and Alex Rins is a bit like the Caparossian Alvaro Bautista pairing at Suzuki, where it's just a bit, I don't know, I just can't see it, right? I think that Alicia definitely deserved to have another go on Suzuki, and I think that having one rider who was experienced on the Suzuki probably would have helped a bit. You know, obviously, Andrea Iannone is in, what, his third or fourth year in MotoGP, but this will be his first time not on a Ducati, so he'll have a bit of learning to do. Then Alex Rins will obviously have a huge amount of learning to do, and Rins is a big unknown. You know, lots of people are saying that he's like Maverick Vinales, but you can just never tell until someone steps up to the Premier class. So yeah, Alicia Spargaro, just going back to him, is actually a really interesting rider. You know, if you just look at his results on Wikipedia or something, you sort of scratch your head and say, well, of course he's not going to get a factory ride. He's had, what, I think two podiums throughout his entire career, and he's had, what, like three pole positions. But Alicia Spargaro, despite not having like the best results on paper, has just always overridden sort of crap bikes. You know, on that CRT Aprilia, he was challenging the factory Ducatis on that bike, and sure, that was for like 8th or 10th spot, but that was really impressive of him to do. So hopefully Alicia Spargaro can land on his feet. As I said earlier, the hot tip is Aprilia for him in 2017. There had also been a rumour, I should say, that he would be going to Kawasaki in World Superbikes, but obviously with Tom Sykes signing alongside Jonathan Rea, that rumour has now been quashed. He could still go to Ducati, maybe. He obviously made his MotoGP debut with the Pramac Ducati squad. So, you know, he does have ties to that factory, but certainly after his CRT performance, I can definitely see him with Aprilia next year alongside Lowe's. As I said, that would mean that Bridle and Bautista are now out of seats. So those are pretty much all of the factories. Then obviously KTM, they're coming back. They'll be running with Pol Espargaró and Bradley Smith. Strong pairing there. Interesting to see how KTM do. They're a huge unknown. Since announcing their MotoGP project, they've run 9 tests, I think it is, and 6 of them have been this year. They've tested in, most recently in Mugello, with Tom Lutie getting his first run out on the bike. Not really sure why Tom Lutie got a run out on the bike, but whatever. So Tom Lutie's ridden the bike. Obviously, Mika Kallio and Randy Depunier, they're sort of leading development on the bike. And they've also had Carol Abraham there, because I don't really know, I guess, he's a MotoGP rider. So I hope that KTM can make a Suzuki comeback and less of an Aprilia comeback. Speaking of Suzuki, Johann Zarco, he was out in Japan. He had a bit of a test on the Suzuki, and he was meant to do the Suzuka 8-hour. But then it turned out that Alex Rins is riding the factory Suzuki next year. So Johann Zarco said, you know what, guys? Nah, I'm not going to do the Suzuka 8-hour. So Noriyuki Haga will run in the Yoshimura team instead of Johann Zarco. Zarco will probably go to Monster Yamaha Tech 3. That's the hot rumor. You know, it always seemed like it was between Zarco and Rins for the Suzuki seat, and whichever one didn't get it would then go to Tech 3. Speaking of Tech 3, I guess we'll now sort of just do a more general rundown of who's going where in the MotoGP paddock in 2017. So as we said, Zarco probably going to Tech 3 alongside Jonas Folger. Again, another all-rookie team. Folger and Zarco certainly give each other pretty clear bars to beat in the form of each other. I think that I'm expecting a lot more from Johann Zarco than I am from Jonas Folger. You know, before Folger signed that MotoGP deal, I really thought he was worthy of moving up to MotoGP. Since then, I don't know. As I've said a couple of times, it just seems like he has lost his head. Also, sorry if it sounds like there's a war zone outside, but the San Juan Festival is, I think it's tomorrow night. And the San Juan Festival, for those of you who don't know, is basically a fire festival here in Barcelona where everyone sets off fireworks and health and safety sort of goes out the window. Last year, I saw a whole cart of fireworks catch on fire. And everyone around that cart suddenly realized that, oh, this is going to be very bad. I took some photos of it. The photos were okay. Anyway, back to it. So the Tech 3 squad, as we said, Folger, probably Zarco. Then the Pramac squad, I believe Scott Redding has a contract for next year. Not 100% sure, but I think that he'll be there alongside Petrucci unless something quite drastic happens. You know, Redding not really had the best results, but a lot of that has been down to technical issues, so can't fault him too much for that. So there's Tech 3 Pramac. LCR are a bit of a question mark. They'll almost certainly have Cal Crutchlow. The rumour about them going to Suzuki seems to have died down a bit, but interesting to see what they do. Sticking with the satellite Honda theme, Mark VDS looks set to keep Jack Miller so that Jack Miller can fulfill the third year of his HRC contract. Whether Miller will turn it around, I don't know. Whether he'll get his contract renewed beyond that, I'm not so sure. You know, the hot rumor had been that Miller would step up to the factory Honda squad for his third year, but certainly his results have not really warranted that. So interesting to see what Miller can do. As for Miller's teammate, not so sure. Tito Rabat's obviously not had the easiest transition to MotoGP, and there have been some rumours floating around that he could maybe go back to Moto2. His replacement, I don't know, I'd like to see Michael Vandermark replace him. I think that Michael Vandermark is definitely one of the more promising guys in World Superbikes, and he's definitely young enough. You know, if you look at your guys like Tom Sykes and like Jonathan Rea, I don't think that they really have time on their side to make a step over to MotoGP. So I think that Michael Vandermark deserves at least a season in MotoGP, in all honesty, you know, just see what he can do. Hopefully he'd get two seasons because, you know, you sort of really do need that season of learning before you get your season of results. So I think that is all of the official satellite teams. And then beyond that, you start getting to your Aspars and your Avintias, who are just huge question marks, you know, not only about which riders they'll have, but also about what machinery they'll have and whether those teams are still going to exist in the coming years. So, yeah, I don't know. I'd expect that someone like Barbera and Bautista would probably end up at Avintia. I'd expect Eugene Laverty to probably stay at Aspar. Yoni Hernandez, his seat's probably pretty safe because he brings you know, he brings money and he's also a Colombian, so that generates a fair bit of interest in terms of television. So, yeah, I think that, you know, next year is definitely going to be a hugely interesting year. I don't think we're going to see a huge number of new faces towards the front, but definitely the prospect of seeing Vinales on a factory Yamaha and the prospect of seeing Jorge Lorenzo on a factory Ducati is incredibly exciting. But for now, it is all about focusing on the racing in 2016. We obviously didn't have any MotoGP racing this weekend. Last weekend, we do have it this weekend in Assen. But last weekend, we did have the World Superbikes, the World Super Sport Bikes out in Misano. We also had the Stock 1000 race there. I implore anyone who hasn't to go watch the Stock 1000 race. The last lap of that, I won't spoil it, but it was a bit crazy. And a guy got a bit lucky. And some other guys got a bit unlucky. So, yeah, be sure to go check that out. World Superbikes obviously do offer a video pass similar to MotoGP.com. And I'm sure that everyone else out there has responsibly recorded it on either Eurosport, or beIN Sport or whatever sports television provider you have. And if not, then Google is, I hear Google's pretty good for finding things. But that's all I'll say on that one. So yes, we had World Superbikes in Misano. It was an interesting weekend, I guess. Personally, I didn't find the racing hugely exciting. Just a sort of broad general comments before we drill down into each race. Yeah, I didn't really find any of the racing hugely exciting. There were a fair few crashes, which surprised me a bit. After Misano got resurfaced, I thought that it would be a bit better, but it definitely still seems like there's some issues. Overall, it was a very good weekend for Jonathan Rea. But we'll get down into the nitty-gritty of the results now. Coming through Super Pole 1, we had Salvadori and Kamiah. Both of those guys really, really impressing pretty consistently. Salvadori, his rookie season in Superbikes, and then obviously Kamiah on the MV, which isn't the doesn't have the biggest budget of all. And both those guys really, really good. And I think that in a couple of years they could maybe do a fair bit of damage if they put on the right bikes. Anthony West was third in that session, pretty good for him. He's still replacing Sylvain Barrier in that Pedicini racing team. He'll also be out in Laguna Seca, so looking to draw on his MotoGP experience around there. He was ahead of Romano Ramos. Nicolò Canepa replacing Gintoli on the Paddy Yamaha. Gintoli will also be out for Laguna Seca, it looks like. So Gintoli not really in a rush to get back from his injury. I'm not sure how bad the injury is, if he's waiting for it to be 100%, or if it was a worse injury than we were led to believe. But anyway, Canepa was fifth in that session ahead of Josh Brooks, Fabio Menghi, he made his return. Dominic Schmider was eighth ahead of Carol Abraham. Peter Sebastian on the Team Toth bike, 10th ahead of Al Saleti. Sozpek, the Polish rider in Team Toth, he was 12th. And De Angelis was, for some reason, 14th. So, pretty disastrous time for De Angelis. Then we got to Super Pole 2, where they all fight it out for pole. And it should come as absolutely no surprise that Tom Sykes got pole position with a rather quick 134.037. That was over 0.2 seconds faster than his teammate, Jonathan Rea. Then, somewhat surprisingly, Xavier Fores on the Barney Racing Team Ducati, that's the satellite Ducati outfit, he was third. Alex Lowes was fourth. Again, that Yamaha doing very well over one lap. Lorenzo Salvadori was fifth, with Nicky Hayden sixth. Pretty decent result for him. Davide Giuliano in seventh ahead of Kamiah. Chaz Davies, bit of a disaster in ninth spot. Michael Vandermark, equally bit of a disaster for him. And then the Altea BMW pairing of Reiterberger and Torres rounding out the top 12. So with qualifying done, we got to have our first race, which was obviously on a Saturday with this new format. And it seemed like it was going to be an excellent race. We had a bit of drama at the start with Chaz Davies. He had a bit of an incident, so I spent the whole race fighting back from that one. He ended the first lap down in 20th, and then quite quickly cut his way through the field. By lap 10, he was in fifth place, which is where he would stay until lap 13 before eventually getting to fourth place. So pretty good recovery from Chaz Davies. Overall, it was a pretty disastrous weekend for Chaz Davies, which is quite unfortunate for my MCN fantasy team, as we'll hopefully get to later in the show notes. So Jonathan Rea led for the entirety of the race, and Tom Sykes just sat there stalking him, waiting, waiting, waiting. And it seemed like Tom Sykes was going to make a move and just, blast off into the distance with three laps to go. But he never really did. I don't know. I sort of expected more from Tom Sykes. Like, the last couple laps were all right, but it just never really seemed like Tom Sykes had the pace to match Jonathan, And usually when you see a rider follow another one, it's because they're holding back and, they're just waiting for their moment to slip past and then absolutely piss off into the distance. But Sykes just sort of had to settle for second. It was really close, under a tenth of a second at the line, with Jonathan taking victory over Tom Sykes. So, a great result for Jonathan Rea. I believe that that ended his longest period without a win since joining Kawasaki, which was something like 5 races, 6 races. I don't know. Anyway, it's incredible that, obviously Jonathan is incredibly strong on that Kawasaki. So he pulls back 5 more points on Tom Sykes. And Michael Vandermark, he was a quite comfortable third place, 3 seconds behind the leading pair, with Chaz Davies 2 seconds behind him, then Davies 10 seconds ahead of Jory Torres and Reiterberger, with then Canepa beating out Leon Kamiah. So seventh for Canepa and eighth for Kamiah. Canepa, Kamiya, quite close names. Niccolò Canepa doing really, really well, you know, leading Yamaha and leading Italian at home as well. So really good result from him. Canepa's obviously been running in the Stock 1000 Championship and also in the Endurance World Championship, always on that R1. So he does have a fair bit of experience in that. Romano Ramos, he was ninth ahead of Anthony West, who continued his run of finishing every race that he's run in superbikes in the top 10. So good result for Westy ahead of Josh Brooks. DeAngelis 12th, Alex Lowe's in 13th. Lowe's had been running up inside the top 5, but then made quite a big mistake on lap 10 and dropped down to 12th place and would stay there for the majority of the race before, as we said, dropping back down a bit further. So there's clearly still issues with that Yamaha and getting them and getting the riders to get it sorted. You know, people expected so much from Lowe's and everyone said that, oh, it's just the Suzuki. But I don't know, there's clearly something not working with that Yamaha, and it's either the bike, the team, or the rider. And, you know, that bike's proven to be so, so effective in all these domestic championships, and it just seems odd to me that that bike can go from dominating Moto America, dominating BSB, dominating the Sev Series, to maybe not struggling so much, but to being so lackluster in World Superbikes. So, yeah, I'm not sure. You know, would a change of rider do something? I don't know. Would a change of team do something again? I don't know. I don't think that any major changes will happen for next year. There's certainly been no reports on the internet of, you know, Crescent stepping away from running that team or anything like that. But behind Lowe's was Davide Giuliano, who had an incredibly disappointing race in 14th. Giuliano continuing to blow hot and cold. You know, one second he's up there fighting for the podium, and then the next second he's barely able to get inside the top 15. And then our favourite Polish rider with the unpronounceable last name, S-Z-K-O-P-E-K. That's just some random letters. He was 15th, so scored a point ahead of Peter Sebastian. And then, unfortunately, Nicky Hayden, he was unable to finish. Lorenzo Salvadori, he had a crash on the first lap, and I believe that's actually what sent Chaz Davies off. Pretty disappointing for Hayden, obviously not being able to contest it. Carol Abraham, he crashed again. Xavi Fores, he also crashed. So pretty unfortunate for him after Fores had started in fourth place. But yeah, I don't know. It's just race one. It just seemed like it was, I don't know. I'm trying to think of an analogy for it. It's just like that pot of water that you're constantly watching that just never seems to boil. Like it always just seems to start steaming, but the bubbles never come up when you're trying to boil it. I was really expecting like elbows out and elbow bashing and all that sort of stuff between Sykes and Ray, but it just never really seemed to happen that much. And then in race two, we had sort of a similar scenario with Ray and Sykes, where Sykes led for the majority of the race and Ray was behind, and then Ray struck and then Ray pissed off in the wind like I had thought Sykes were done. So Johnny Ray would eventually take victory. But behind them, there's a fair bit of drama, especially on the first lap. Reiterberger had a pretty spectacular high side, which you can see on the Eurosport Twitter and Facebook page. Unfortunately, Reiterberger cracked his T12, I believe it was, vertebra. So the German is unfortunately going to miss the Laguna Seca round. And not too long after that, we had falls for Chaz Davies and Michael van der Mark. They had crashes which were pretty unfortunate. Both of them were able to get back up. There's a pretty spectacular photo on Chaz Davies's Instagram where Michael van der Mark is very close to running over the poor Welshman. But Michael van der Mark was eventually able to finish in 10th with Davies unable to finish the race. Leon Kamiya, he unfortunately was unable to finish. So MV's reliability sort of coming into question after a run of really good races. So as we said, Jonathan Ray, he took victory by almost 3 seconds and did what you really expect when you see someone stalking. Davide Giuliano, he had a very quiet ride by himself. He was 4 seconds back on the Kawasaki pair, and he returned to the podium ahead of fellow Ducati rider Xavier Fores, the number 12 rider. Fores could be a good shout for that factory Ducati team next year. I think that Fores is he's a really rapid guy. You know, we've seen him do some replacement rides last year, and then even on the Barney Ducati this year, he's had some pretty strong results. Lorenzo Salvadori, again, he could be really good for that Ducati ride. Salvadori, he was fifth ahead of Nicky Hayden in sixth, Jordi Torres in seventh, with Lowe's, again, somewhat disappointing in eighth, but this time he did manage to beat Canepa by 3 seconds, as we said, Vandermark 10th, Anthony West 11th, ahead of Romano Ramos, Alex De Angelis 13th, Josh Brooks 14th, Carol Abraham rounded out the points in 15th place. And that was the World Superbike races. The battle for fifth was pretty exciting. All of those riders were within half a second of each other at the line. But overall, I don't know, it was just a bit, obviously the first laps were pretty exciting. You know, crashes are always exciting, sort of in the worst possible way. So, yeah, I don't know. It was obviously a terrible weekend for Chaz Davies, which has, in my opinion, dropped him out of championship contention. You know, not scoring in the second race and fourth in the first race after his runoff hasn't really helped him. Jonathan Rea with a double victory, his first double since Assen. So, yeah, it was three rounds, that Jonathan Rea had that winning drought. So Jonathan Rea stays at the head of the championship, 343 points, which is 66 points ahead of Tom Sykes in second and 99 points ahead of Chaz Davies in third. I know that there's still a fair few rounds in World Superbike left, but 99 points is a lot. 66 points is a lot. I can't see past Jonathan Rea. You know, I think we've been saying it since the Thailand round that I can't see past Jonathan Rea, and he just continues to assert himself as the dominant force in World Superbikes. Although, as we said, you know, the battle for fourth place is looking really exciting. Davide Giuliano, 165 points, and Michael Vandermark, 163. He's just 2 points behind. And then Nicky Hayden, he could still maybe get in the mix. He's 19 points behind Giuliano. So, you know, he could maybe do it. Jordi Torres doing quite well, 137 points for seventh. Leon Camier, eighth with 105. Here's to watch out, because Lorenzo Salvadori does have 100 points, so he's only 5 behind. Then Alex Lowes is in 10th place, only 81 points. That's what? That's a fourth? 160. Yeah, that's Alex Lowes has a fourth the points of Jonathan Rea. I don't know. And, you know, Lowes' best result all year has been 8th place in Sepang. I honestly don't know what's going on with Lowe's. It just seems like he should, you know, given the history of him and that bike, it just seems like he should be scoring more points. He's ahead of Fores, though. Fores with 75 points. Marcos Reiterberger, who, as we said, will be missing Laguna Seca, he's 12th, ahead of Silvan Gintoli, Josh Brooks in 14th, and then Romano Ramos in 15th place with 53 points. Not sure why I got stuck on that one, but I did. And then we come to the World Supersport race, which I must admit I have not really seen. So we'll just do a quick rundown of the results. Federico Caracasulo, he got his first ever pole position in the middleweight class, ahead of Keenan Sfroglu, PJ Jacobson rounding out the front row. Then Randy Krumenacker managed to get fourth with, as I said, that broken or that damaged shoulder, I guess I should say. So I guess that also says a fair bit about that championship. Then we had Gamarino on the team Go 11 Kawasaki. He was fifth ahead of Badovini, Zacconi, Kluzel in eighth. What has happened to Jules Kluzel? Luke Stapleford in 10th on his triumph. Gino Rea in 11th place, and then Robbie Rolfo in 12th. I should also state now that Nico Tirole and Kyle Ride, who were running on MVs, and I believe it was the Schmidt Racing team, that team has now given MV Augusto the boot after a very difficult weekend out here in Misano. Nico Tirole was 19th with Kyle Ride 23rd. It's not yet known what bikes they'll be on, but as I said, with World Supersport not going to Laguna Seca, they do have a bit of time to sort some bikes. And, you know, I'd guess that they'd go to maybe Yamahas. I don't know. Kyle Ride obviously has experience with the Yamahas. Or, you know, they could go to the Kawasaki. That bike's very popular in the Supersport class. And sourcing a World Supersport bike doesn't seem like the hardest task in the world. So hopefully we will see both those riders back out there, because Kyle Reid, definitely an up-and-coming rider. And then Nico Tyrrell, you know, he was the last ever 125cc world champion. And it would just be such a disaster for his career to have just fizzled out like this. You know, he obviously made the step up to World Superbike last year. That didn't work out, got booted mid-season, went to MV, had a couple of good rides, and now it's just, pff, yeah, I don't know. Another head scratcher there with Nico Tyrrell. But anyway, we got to the race. Caracciolo led for most of the race. Then PJ Jacobsen led for a fair bit of the race. And then in the last two laps, Keenan Sofoglu struck all of the top three within a second of each other. Sofoglu took the win ahead of Caracciolo and PJ Jacobsen. Gino Reyer, a great ride in fourth. Gino Reyer definitely seems like the best of the rest. You know, he's the leading MV Agusta in that race, even though he's on a satellite MV, so really good for him. And yeah, Gino's another one who I'd like to see on like a really competitive World Supersport bike, because I think he could probably challenge for the title with the likes of Jacobsen and Sofoglu. Randy Krumenacker fifth ahead of Lorenzo Zanetti, Baldellini ahead of Bazzani, Stapleford inside the top 10 as I scan my eyes down for Jules Cluzel, who didn't finish the race, along with Carl Smith. So Jules Cluzel, his championship is well and truly Gonski. Unfortunate for him there. But yeah, you know, Keenan Sofoglu, he's asserted his dominance in the class. He has 146 points. He's 40 points clear of Randy Krumenacker. Much like Jonathan Rea, I can't see past Keenan Sofoglu for the championship. You know, he had his early issues in Phillip Island, and since then he's just been so strong. As we said, Krumenacker, he's second, 106 points. PJ Jacobsen, he's on 92. So I can feasibly see PJ Jacobsen challenging for second, but I just can't see PJ challenging for the championship, and that's really disappointing. PJ will be running at the Suzuka 8 hour, so hopefully he can do well there. And you know, maybe if Michael Vandermark steps over to MotoGP, then maybe we could have an all-American Honda team, which Honda America would probably like. And I think that both PJ and Nikki could certainly do some damage, especially if we do get this unicorn like new CBR next year. So Gino Rea, he's fourth in the championship, 78 points. 3 points behind him is Cluzel with Caracciolo at 74 points. So pretty nice tight battle there for fourth place. Baldellini, he's in seventh, 69 points, just one ahead of Carl Smith. Then Ayrton Badovini, he is in ninth place with 49, which is 9 points ahead of Zulfami Karadeniz. Nico Tyrrell is 12th overall, and Anthony West is 19th in the World Supersport Championship and 17th in the Superbike Championship. So Anthony West is currently the only rider to feature on both the Superbike and World Supersport standings. Westy has 16 points from his third place in Australia in Supersport, and then in Superbike, he already has 39 points from finishing all but one race inside the top 10. So pretty good result for Westy there. And yeah, that was pretty much the racing. As I said, the Stock 1000 race, that was really, really exciting. And I'll probably go back and look at World Supersport at some point. But we do have Assen coming up this weekend for the MotoGP. As we said, that will be on the Sunday. So be sure to watch all 3 days, obviously. But yeah, don't be surprised when you turn on the TV on Saturday and it's just qualifying. Then for the Motul FIM Superbike World Championship, they will next be going to Monza, not Monza, what am I saying, Monza, to the Mazda Raceway Laguna Seca. Laguna Seca and Monza, quite far apart. I think I said Monza because on the calendar we have in the show notes, Monza's been crossed off because of obviously all the issues with that one. So that will be on the 9th and 10th of July will be when racing takes place at Laguna Seca. I love Laguna Seca, so I will definitely watch those World Superbike races. And that's the week before the German GP, so there'll be nothing conflicting with that there. And then after that, World Superbike won't be back out until the middle of September when they go to Germany to the Laustersring for what will be round 10. So a nice long summer break there. July, so most of July, all of August, and then half of September. So basically 2 months off for World Superbikes. So not a bad life if you're a World Superbike rider. I'm sure that we'll see some guys do some stuff in other championships, especially the guys in Stock Thau and in World Supersport. You know, they'll usually see if they can get a bit of a replacement ride in Moto2 or something like that. Speaking of Moto2 replacement rides, there's some breaking news just coming in now. As I check, the old Twitter. Remy Gardner has taken Alessandro Tonucci's seat at the Tesco Racing team. So after scoring a point in Barcelona on his World Championship debut and then taking his first ever victory in the Sev and swearing live on TV, which was worrying for me because apparently swearing on TV is quite a big deal. Remy will now be focusing on the Moto2 World Championship and running with that Tasca Racing team. I don't think that he's suddenly going to be getting podiums in the World Championship, but, you know, if he can consistently score some points, then hopefully he can line up something for next year. As we said, he now does have Martin Wimmer as his manager, so a pretty smart cookie behind him there. And I think that's pretty much it for the show. Obviously, once I stop babbling on, we will be listening to those three interviews from Scott Bolton. As we said, bit of a smaller show this week. News hasn't been as rampant as we thought it would be. Obviously, with top MotoGP seats sorted out, it'll now start to trickle down to those satellite teams, which we ran through, then to World Superbike and Moto2, and eventually to Moto3, although with Moto3, teams are still changing. As we said, I think we said it on the show. I don't know if we did, actually. Carol Haneke, he's been replaced by Danny Webb. Danny Webb, who has been racing the roads for the last 3 years. So Danny Webb becomes the first rider since, like, John McGuinness in 2000, I think it was, to come from the TT and do a MotoGP round. Danny Webb will be running with that Platinum Bay Real Estate team. Carol Haneke, his future uncertain. I'd really like to see Haneke on a bike. I think that the kid does have a lot of talent. It's just that he falls off way too much. He just needs to learn to breathe. And I think that if he could do that, then he could be a bit of a weapon on a bike. Maybe World Supersport would be nice for him. He was testing a superbike in Brno a couple of weeks ago. So I don't know. It's one of those things. Definitely keep an eye out to see where all those sorts of guys land. And I'm looking forward to Assen. I think that Valentino Rossi, I think that he'll be strong there again. You know, Rossi's always strong at Assen. He's coming there off a really good result in Barcelona. There was also the MotoGP test, so everyone has one or two things worked out. As we always talk about, Assen's a very difficult track for Jorge Lorenzo, which isn't really what he needs after his disastrous weekend in Barcelona. He really needs to have a good weekend. Marc Marquez, he's pretty unpredictable. I think that he could win it. If it comes down to that last chicane again, I don't know what'll happen there. But then we also have the Andre Iannone starting from the back of the grid. So the maniac is coming through, so everyone get out of the way. I think that Assen should be a good weekend. We also have rain predicted for all 3 days. It, in all honesty, looks like quite a miserable weekend with rain and like 16 degrees. So hopefully anyone going to that GP has packed their rain jacket, because it does look like it will be a bit wet and chilly. And then in Moto2 and Moto3, I think we should have great races. I think that in Moto2, we're going to have those three guys of Rins, Lowe's, and Zarco. I think they're going to be up there again, be it wet or dry. And then in Moto3, I think that's going to be the usual insanity there. Jorge Navarro, we definitely didn't talk about this. Jorge Navarro, he's broken his leg, which is championship over for him. You know, he takes his first win and then breaks his leg while training on a mini bike, I believe it was, in Valencia. So absolute disaster for Jorge Navarro. Great for Brad Binder, obviously. You know, Romano Fenati is now his only realistic title challenger, and even Fenati is not really that realistic. You know, Fenati needs to start winning basically every race left in the season and hope Binder finishes off the podium. So it's really time for Romano Fenati to shut up and step up to the plate, I think is... that made sense, I think. Really unfortunate for Jorge Navarro. I think that had he been fit, that, you know, much like Binder's win in Jerez, one winner often opens the floodgates. But instead, Lorenzo Della Porta, who is currently leading the CEV Moto3 Junior World Championship, he'll be filling in for Jorge Navarro. So expect another wild Italian to be up there. But it's now definitely Brad Binder's championship to lose. And I can't really see past the South African taking the title. And yeah, I'm looking forward to a great weekend in Assen, and we'll see what the weekend brings. There's a fair few riders in the press conference, including Alicia Spargo. You might be listening to this show after the press conference. It'll probably go up before the press conference, maybe. I don't know. Who knows what will happen. Hopefully Alicia will go to Aprilia and they can keep improving, because I would really like to see Alicia Spargo do well. I think that he definitely, you know, deserves a solid ride. And that's it. That's all me done for the show. As I said, little bit of a tight show there. And I'm now going to throw it over to Scott Bolton with his three interviews. So I will catch you for episode 500 sometime next week. Have a good one, everyone.
Hey, Scott Bolton here at Barber Motorsports Park, wrapping up the weekend at the Honda Superbike Shootout and HS35 pits. Joined by Benito Solis. Benny, thanks for joining us here on Motopod.
Well, thanks for having me. Happy to be back.
Yeah, man, it's been a while since I talked to you. I don't know if last time I talked to you, if it was for Motopod or when I was trying to do my own deal with the bench racers, but it's been too long, so I wanted to get a word with you before you got out of here this weekend. Pretty good weekend for you. Got a fifth yesterday, a sixth today. What's your thoughts from on the weekend?
I think we can improve a lot. You know, we finished the races, so I'm happy. But we've been stronger, so we don't want to lose the level we had. I think this weekend we lost it a little bit. Normally I finish right behind the group. Like VIR, I finished fifth, but I was 1.5 seconds behind the leader. And right now it was like 20 seconds, so we have a lot to work on. I struggled this weekend since day one, but even though we finished sixth today, we improved overall from yesterday's race, so we are getting better. It's just, I think this weekend was tough for us because I didn't race last year on the Honda, so I didn't know the gearing or the suspension or anything. We showed up and it was pretty new, but happy we finished overall.
Yeah, and speaking of being on the Honda, you know, we were at the event at the museum last night, and you know, you got to talk to the crowd a little bit, and you know, it's really cool that you're out here, you know, flying the flag for you know, the Big Red, and kind of an uphill road. I know, you know, Honda's been out of the Superbike and super sports scene here in Moto America for the last, well, you know, as far as the AMA series, since the late 2000s. But you know, they're coming back in, and you know, I know me and a lot of people are hoping that your loyalty to them is gonna, you know, pay dividends, you know, maybe a few years down the road.
I really hope so. I mean, yeah, we're running the flag for them now, but of course they're helping me out, so I thank them for that. You know, I wouldn't be out here without them. And it's difficult because it'd be nice if they were out here racing and maybe had a rider and I could get notes off them, but we're a private team, private effort, me and my dad, really, so it's hard to, we don't have a teammate, we just can't afford to have another guy. I think we could progress a lot faster if we did, but that's just a matter of sponsorship, so, but either way, we're happy. I mean, I think VRR was our best round. And if we can get back there, then it'd be a big step for us, because I think for sure I have a bike to podium. But now it's just a matter of putting in the right work and then my right training and being ready. And then, of course, if Honda returns in the future, if there's something there for me, it'd be really nice.
Yeah, and it, you know, Honda's calculated and does things on their own time schedule. But it's, I know there's good vibes in the Moto America paddock. You know, they're sponsoring this shootout deal for the last two races and the next race, and of course brought Nikki Hayden here this weekend, and you know, it's they got the new Fireblade of the new 1000 coming out next year, so yeah, it's a lot of people have high hopes that they'll be you know, getting more seriously re-involved here in the next year or two.
Yeah, I hope so, honestly. There's definitely interest. I mean, I can say that because, I mean, anybody can see it. You know, they're sponsoring events now. They're doing nice things for the series, and they're supporting. So they obviously have their eyes on us, or at least on Moto America. And I'm sure the TV package with BN helps. And then ask for a new bike. I mean, I heard the same thing. I think they're all rumors until it comes out. I really hope so. It'd be nice. But, yeah, until then, I think just wait and work on my program.
Benny, just for some of our international listeners that might not be totally familiar with you, of course you're a second generation racer, your dad raced, and you know, you were the I believe the U.S. Red Bull Rookie Cup champ 1 year, and did the I believe you did the international Red Bull Rookie Cup for a year, and had some you know, training experiences with Jorge Lorenzo. He's had you over to Spain, and so yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, the people here on the American scene have been watching you for, you know, several years, and know the potential you have. And you know, I know I can speak for myself, along with a lot of other people, hoping to see you get that break sooner rather than later, and to be able to really fully show what we know you're capable of.
Yeah, no, I think for sure I'm pretty lucky. You know, I know a lot of people, and for example, one of them, like Jorge, it's like a privilege to be his friend. You know, it's really nice to tell somebody he's my friend, and I get to train with him every February. That's like with the month where he's really training hard, so he leaves his doors open for me. He's like, hey, every February you can stay 15 to 20 days whenever you want. And I couldn't go last year because I had to work here trying to find sponsorship. But yeah, like now that we're talking about sponsorship, I think, you know, that break will come for me as soon as I can have a really solid program and something where I can commit to a season. You know, right now it's race by race, and I know we're not reaching our full potential, and we are getting closer to the factory teams with just really myself, my dad, and then a couple mechanics. So I think it just comes down to support, and then once we have the support, I could concentrate 100% on just being a rider, you know, not trying to be my own manager, my own mechanic, my own truck driver, etc. So I feel like I have a good foundation, though. I know good people. For example, like my training, Jorge helps me, and then of course I have people that CrossFit sponsors me, so I know my training's covered. I know I have a good bike. It's just a matter of getting to all the events and focusing there, but I think our time's coming. I mean, we're good people, we work hard, so sooner or later.
Yeah, and if you guys could see here in you know, the HS35 pit, we're not standing out in front of a big semi hauler or anything. You know, we got a 35-foot trailer here, yeah. And a couple of you know, easy ups, and you know, these guys are pushing you know, right at the back end of the factory, you know, the big teams out here in the Super Sport 600 class. So it's very impressive what they're doing, and you know, Benny, it's wishing you the best of luck, you know, the rest of this year. Hope you guys are able to make the rest of the rounds. I know you had to miss the last round, and I know it's kind of a tough go for you, but, you know, hoping to see you out there for the rest of the year, and, you know, keeping on pushing those top guys and look for that big break to come. It's hot as heck out here, and I know you guys are trying to get loaded up to get on the road west. So thanks for joining us here on Motopod, and look forward to, you know, keeping up with your progress in the future.
All right. No, thanks for having me, and hopefully we can talk sooner and not so much break in between, but thank you.
Absolutely. Okay, Scott Bolton here for Moto Podcast, Barber Motorsports Park on the Saturday evening. Just wrapped up Super Pole for the Superbike Super Stock 1000 class, and on the pole for tomorrow's races is none other than Graves Motorsports Yamalube Cam Beaubier. Cam, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, so far it's been a good week, and I had a tip over this morning in FP3, which was a bummer towards the end of the session, but my team worked really hard. The Monster Energy Graves Yamaha crew worked really hard on getting the bike back together for Super Pole, and yeah, I qualified in Super Pole on the bike that I ended up crashing in FP3, so it just shows how good those guys are. They can throw a bike back together, and man, yeah, it went good. It's always a little funky after a crash and then having a break and then jumping right back on, but I was able to get my confidence back right away and felt decent on the race tire at the beginning of the qualifying, and then we put the Super Bowl tire on, and it's always, you just don't really know what to expect with the Super Bowl tire, just because you have so much grip, pushes around the front tire a little bit, and you just kind of have to be patient on it. You know, you can't just go crazy, because when you go crazy and try to brake late everywhere, then you're screwing up your lines and screwing up your exits. So you just have to be patient and just let the lap time come to you.
Yeah, and as you said in the presser up in the media center earlier, you know, you guys are still you know, kind of learning and coming to grips with the qualifying tire format that we got in Moto America this year. So, you know, that's got to play into it somewhat.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, every weekend it seems like the Super Bowl tire is different at all the tracks too. You know, here it's really, really hot and sticky, and we're able to get two laps out of the track just because it's quite a bit shorter than a track like a Road America or something. You know, where you're only getting one lap out of it. So yeah, definitely learning.
Is there anything in particular that you attributed the crash in FP3 to?
No, I just got in there a little bit hot. It was completely my fault. I hit some of those bumps, and just the front felt like it was tucking a little bit, and then it finally just went on me. All weekend, I feel like the bumps have gotten a little bit bigger there than the previous years. But yeah, it just caught me out today for sure.
Well, Cam, as it's been well recorded, you had a foray into the World Superbike paddock a couple of weeks ago at Donington Park. Obviously, a lot of the American fans were tuned into that, and high hopes for a young American aiming to move onto the world stage. And that had to be a huge learning curve going into that. But you came out of it with a good showing for yourself.
Yeah, thank you. It was really tough, you know, just everything got thrown together at the last minute. Different bike, different team, different tires, you know, just obviously different championship racing against different guys. Just a bunch of stuff was thrown at me, but I mean, I wish that my position was a little bit better, but I was really happy how I progressed throughout the weekend and my times were coming down, and I was getting more competitive as the weekend went on, and I was able to go straight into Super Pole. And I crashed out of the first race on the first lap, and I think right there, like, that was just a big bummer because, I mean, I was already racing at a track everyone has ridden at multiple times, and bikes they're used to, and so that was, I was already handicapped at the beginning, you know, and then I went and crashed in the first race and made it even harder on myself. So I think if I was able to get the race I did on Sunday in on Saturday and then have a night to sleep on it, come back and put in a race Sunday, I think it would have been a lot better. But I mean, that's just how racing goes, you know. But yeah, it was really cool. Big thanks to Yamaha for putting that whole deal together for me. Like, that was I've always wanted to race those guys, you know. I look up to those guys, the Tom Sykes, the Johnny Rays, you know, the Nicky Haydens, and it's pretty cool to be on track with them and be competitive with them.
Yeah, and I mean, that corner you crashed in, Cam, you gotta admit, I mean, you know, some of the best in the sport have crashed in that corner. That's not an easy corner.
Exactly. It was pretty funky because I rode there on a 125, but man, it was so weird. Like, I mean, 7 years ago, and it was so weird because I didn't really remember the track at all. Like, when I was, well, I remembered, like, obviously what direction I was going in, but everything felt so much bigger on that little bike, like a long time ago, you know. So I had to relearn the track, get going, get up to speed. But overall, it was a really good experience. The team over there, Patty Yamaha, all the people welcomed us in the team, and I went over there with my crew chief Rick Hobbs and Jake Zemke, and totally really really nice people. We clicked right away, and it made for a fun weekend because, I mean, I've heard horror stories about people going wild carding and butting heads with the team and all that, and it was nothing like that. It was just an all-around fun experience.
Well, yeah, and like I say, having Rick Hobbs there with you and Jake Zemke, and, you know, that had to help out. You know, Zemke, he's obviously a, you know, ton of experience, not only here in the States, but he's had some international exposure as well. And, you know, Jake's just a fun guy to be around, so he had to lighten the atmosphere a little bit, you know, having Jake there.
Yeah, exactly. It was really good having Jake and Rick over there with me. Especially, like, on the technical side, Rick was able to he brought over, like, some, it just made everything a lot more simple. He brought over some pictures of, like, what degree I run my bars at and this, and, like, what shock setting we use and fork, like, ride high, like, just a bunch of technical stuff. So that made it really a lot easier on me, not having to get on the bike and, oh, I like my bars here, or yeah, we do this at home, can we try this, you know. So we all kind of worked together, and yeah, I mean, I think just more time is gonna fix that, you know, bike setup and all that. And yeah, it was cool having Jake there too, you know, because he knows a lot of people in that paddock. A lot of people respect that guy. He's a really really good guy with the fans, and also just, I mean, it's hard to, you don't ever hear anyone saying anything bad about him, you know. He's a good dude, so it was cool having him over there. Everyone is excited to see him, and yeah, like, he was just like, oh yeah, like you're slow here in this split, you're fast here, like, try to work just little stuff that helps a rider, you know, build me up confidence wise. So overall, it was good. It was a fun trip. We were messing around with each other, flying back and forth and joking around in the airport. So it was fun. Good time.
You know, I think I can not only speak for myself, but a lot of people here stateside that we were very proud of the performance you put in. Obviously, race one didn't turn out like you wanted, but to come back and get that top 10 in race two, nipping at the heels of some of the guys that's got several years experience there, and you know, with only a limited time on the bike, on the track, you know, just a good showing, and it's got to get some attention of some people, hopefully, for the future.
Yeah, thank you. I hope so, because, I mean, I do want to race on the world stage one day. I mean, I think it's just timing is everything, you know, and Yamaha brought me into the factory team and gave me everything. I just want to make sure I'm on a Yamaha, you know, when I go over there, and if I go over there. So yeah, but right now I just want to focus on what I've got going on right now. And like I said about the whole World Superbike deal, I think with time I could be competitive for sure. I mean, yeah, 10th, it doesn't sound very good, but I was pretty happy with my pace towards the end of the race. I was getting more comfortable on the bike. I just kind of screwed myself at the beginning and halfway through, crashing out the day before. But once I got into a rhythm, I was clicking off 5th, 6th place times at the end of the race. I just needed to start a little better, you know. So I was happy with the progression. But, yeah, I want to make sure I just focus on what I have going on here. And that's to try to win another championship, and but it's been a good solid year so far.
Yeah, and of course you're having a good season here, and you know, defending the title here in Moto America Superbike class, and you know, you come back from Donington, go to Road America, and do the double. So you know, not a bad showing.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. I mean, the results didn't really show the struggle I had on Friday, you know, adapting back to my bike, just the different tires and stuff like that. It really kind of messes with your head a little bit. I went and threw a bike down the road on Friday and then crashed in the rain on Saturday. And I was like, gosh, man, this is freaking frustrating. So, but I was able to turn it around Sunday and get two wins. So that was definitely good.
Yeah, it's got to be tricky, like you say, going, you know, from a different team. Yeah, you know, sure, it's the same bike, the same model, but totally different situation, setup, tires, everything you can imagine. So, yeah, definitely an impressive show. And then you come in here this weekend. Like I said, had a little tip over in F3, but then you come out here and, you know, you lowered the qualifying time from last year by, what, close to a second or – Yeah, so I mean, you know, I know the qualifying tires might have a little bit to do with that, but you know, that's a big increase.
Yeah, it's funny because the way this track works, it gets so hot here, the track gets so greasy, you know, and you end up doing faster laps in the mornings than you do in the afternoons, just because the temperature isn't as high. So that's kind of funky, you know, because normally when the track gets hotter, the grip gets better. So it's just so hot here, man. Just sliding around, but it's good. You know, I felt like I had some good times and some good pace on the race tire. And I think on the race tire, we're going faster than we did last year in qualifying. So it's good. I mean, I'm looking forward to the race. And yeah, the Super Bowl tire is just one or two laps, and it's kind of, yeah, there's obviously skill involved, but there's a lot of luck too, you know. It's easy to rush things, like I was saying. But I'm looking forward to putting two solid races in tomorrow. Kind of curious to see what the weather's going to do. It looks like some storms are blowing in. But whatever it does, I'll be ready for it.
Yeah, this time of year in the South, obviously, it's a little bit unpredictable. Hopefully it'll stay dry for the races, and but if not, I know you guys will adjust. Speaking of the tires, how big of a difference was it going from the you know, Moto America Dunlops to the World Superbike Spec Pirelli tires?
A lot different. Definitely a lot different. I just feel like the characteristics of each tire are just way different, the way they work and the way they do things. Like the Pirellis have a lot softer carcass than the Dunlops do, and that creates more flex and and a lot more movement, especially in the rear tire. And it was kind of funky for me because I was struggling on Friday in practice over in Donington. Like, the bike was just pumping and moving all over the place, and I was like, man, like, is that the shock? Like, I couldn't tell if I thought it was the rear shock, you know, but it was actually the tire squatting on the ground. And so that was kind of funky for me. And yeah, the front tire over there, the Pirelli, it's definitely got some really good grip. You can push it pretty far, and it'll move around but still stick there, you know. And with the Dunlop tires, they've definitely come a long way, but I think the grip levels is, I think that the Pirelli over there, I mean, for whatever reason, is a step ahead for sure. But I know Dunlop's working hard on all that, and the rear and fronts have come a long way. And I think that maybe the biggest difference that I struggled with is with coming back here is the Dunlop, the front, like, it sticks, like, don't get me wrong, but there isn't as much feel as the Pirelli had.
Yeah, well, you obviously you know, did a good job of adjusting to a tricky situation, and the America, the fans, and the sport over here is we're excited, you know, about what the future holds. You know, we know there's a lot of things involved in moving on up to that next level, but you know, we feel like you've got the goods to make it happen if the situation comes right, and we're looking forward to that hopefully happening. Like I say, we think with all things you know, put into place, that you put in a great showing in front of the world stage. You know, I communicate with some people on the international scene, you know, through social media, and I think they were impressed, and so yeah, it's good, bodes well for the future, and we're you know, got our fingers crossed.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thanks a lot. Having kind of I guess you could say America on my shoulders going over there was a little nerve-wracking, but yeah, it's where I want to be, so we'll see what the future holds.
Awesome. Cam, hey, thanks for your time, buddy. We wish you the best of luck in the two races here tomorrow for the rest of the year, going for that second championship here in the Moto America Superbike class, and for whatever the future holds beyond that.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, Scott Bolton here at the Barber Motorsports Park for the Moto America weekend, here in the M4 Sport Bike Track Gear pit area, and glad to be joined by Cam Peterson. Cam, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no worries. Good to be here.
Cam, it's your second year in the Moto America series, and first year here on the GSX R600s. You know, last year, for the first year in the series in America, you know, you had a pretty good year, but, you know, it seems like this year you're really coming into your own.
Yeah, you know, obviously last year being my first year, we getting used to all the tracks and everything. You know, we had a fairly decent year. Obviously, I would have liked to have done a bit better, but yeah, you know, here we are, my second season on the GSX R600, and having more fun than ever. You know, I feel really comfortable on the bike, and the whole M4 SportBikeTrackGear.com team have thrown everything they have at us. So, you know, it's definitely helped being on a team, and you know, their main focus is just to make sure that they have bikes that are competitive and win every race. So, yeah, you know, we started off the season with a bit of a rocky start, struggled a little bit, but you know, come New Jersey, I got my first win here in America, and that was just an unreal feeling. And then yeah, you know, second half of the season's kind of been a strong one for us. You know, I got a new crew chief for Virginia, and it's just all been clicking, and I'm having more fun than I ever have just riding my bike. So yeah, I look forward to the rest of the season and see what we can do.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I talked to your teammate Valentine DeBeast at Road Atlanta, and you know, I told him I was, as a fan, and you know, nothing against the Yamaha guys, but it was good to see somebody finally come in and give them a run for their money.
I mean, it's good for the sport too, you know. You know, not everybody just wants to see the same people winning all the time. So yeah, it's good to see more manufacturers up at the front there, and It's been a good year so far. We've had some good battles with the Yamaha guys and Benny Solis on the Honda. So, it's been a fun year so far.
Yeah, I was watching the Road America races, and there was a certain section of the track, man. You had it down. I mean, whether it's JD or Garrett in front of you, you were giving it to them in that back section every time.
Road America was a tough one for us. You know, I think the Yamaha just had a bit more legs than what we did. So, and these Suzukis, they turn really well and good on the brakes. So I knew that we had advantage on the brakes. So. That's, you know, every single lap, every corner I went under the brakes and just kind of holding my breath, giving it everything I had, because I knew we could make a lot of time up on the brakes. So it was a fun race. Road America was a fun weekend, and obviously my teammate got his first win of the season and here in America, so that was awesome for the team. And here we are at Barber, and hopefully we can do the same thing.
Team boss, Chris Ulrich, He retired officially from riding earlier this year, and it seems to have, I hate to say it, but maybe he should have hung it up a little earlier. No, just kidding. Chris had a great career, behind the bars, but it seems like him, being able to focus fully now on, helping run the team seems to, be paying dividends.
Yeah, obviously Chris was a great rider, he still is a great rider. But for sure, once he hung his boots up and gave more focus onto the team, it's definitely made the change, and it's nice just as riders to see that kind of commitment come from a team boss. I think that's been one of the huge differences in the team, there's a lot more focus going into the bikes and into the riders. So it's made a huge difference. It was, for us, it definitely helped, when he kind of hung up his boots and focused more on us.
And I asked Valentine this question at Road Atlanta. Have you been able to fully wrap your head around the legend of this Team Hammer organization and the 30-plus years they've been in the American Superbike racing and what they've accomplished? Thanks, Chris. 36 years.
It's, like you said, Team Hammer have been around forever, and you look at some of the riders that have come through their team, that have gone on to do great things, win world championships. Kevin Schwantz, he was one of them, riding their bikes and stuff. So it's just unreal to be under their tents and in their team. It's a real privilege to be riding for these guys.
Yeah, no doubt. I know it's got to be an honor, but a great opportunity as well. Cam, for those that don't know, you hail from South Africa. Your dad, Robbie Peterson, many of the longtime fans remember your dad racing. What I remember is him racing for Kenny Roberts in the Formula USA series, back on the two-stroke Yamaha, back in the day. That was pretty awesome. And so obviously your dad's played a big part in your career.
Yeah, my dad's played a huge part. Like you said, he was racing here in the early 90s for Kenny on the 500s. And so that's actually kind of what kick-started it for us. I've been wanting to get overseas for a while, and Europe just seemed like a dead end. He was here in 2010, crew chiefing for Ben Bostrom. And America just seemed like the place to go, With Moto America taking over, we knew that the series was going to grow. I mean, you look at this year, the TV package and stuff we've got is huge. But my dad played a huge role, and he's sacrificed pretty much his whole life. These last 2 years, he's given everything he's ever earned for to me, for me to be able to live my dream and try and make this a career. So, obviously if it wasn't for my dad, I wouldn't even be here. I probably wouldn't be racing on a motorbike. So, I can't thank him enough. I'm always going to be in debt to my dad. So,
Yeah, that's very cool. Cam, you were on the Yamaha last year, I believe. What's some of the major differences you're experiencing jumping on the Suzuki this year?
Just the whole characteristics of the bike is completely different. Just the way they handle, even seating position. I feel a lot more comfortable on the Suzuki. It's got a really good chassis. The bike handles well. They turn well. Can put them wherever they want. I think that's been one of the the main differences in my riding is just being comfortable on a bike and knowing that every weekend, going into every race, that I'll have a bike underneath me that's competitive and can win races.
Yeah, and of course you mentioned, you know, you got your first win in New Jersey, you know, back a few rounds ago. This weekend, first time at, or second time at Barber, you've qualified fifth, I believe. Got a race one coming up this afternoon. What's your outlook?
Yeah, you know, it's all the times are pretty close. I like this track, but it's yeah, like race one coming up, it's going to be a fight. So I can't wait. You know, I can't wait to rub bars and you know, do a bit of rubbing with these guys. So yeah, should be a good race. I'm pretty sure it's going to be fun to watch for some of the guys out there, the fans. So I can't wait to get it going and race with these guys.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's always you know, a good show when the Super Sports 600 guys get out there. I'm drawing a blank, Cam, but I know you've got a fellow South African in the paddock with you here the last couple of weeks. Is this somebody you know? And I apologize, you probably know his name.
Yeah, you know, Matthew Skoltz. Me and Matty, we grew up racing together. You know, we raced pit bike supermoto when we were, you know, 8 years old. So yeah, me and Matty were pretty close. We've got a good relationship. He went off to Europe pretty early, so he came back in 2014 and raced in the South African Championship, and that's the first time I raced against him since we were probably, you know, 10, 11. So it's pretty cool to have Matthew in the same paddock as us, and nice just to be able to go over and have someone to speak to, and you know, it's cool having him over here, and he's doing an awesome job so far. You know, he definitely knows how to ride a motorbike and can definitely put that that bike on the top step of the podium.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me, Matthew Schultz, and I guess last round at Road America was his first time on that bike. He's filling in or either replace Sheridan Morais on that bike, another fellow South African. So, but yeah, he definitely, I think, turned some heads. And yeah, so you guys are kind of making a statement over here.
Yeah, it was unfortunate for Shez. You know, he's had a few injuries this year and has had to sit out the last few rounds. So it's unfortunate for Shez, but awesome for Matthew to come over here and fill in for Shez and do such a good job like he's been doing. But yeah, it's cool to have a few South Africans in the paddock, and yeah, we'll see where it takes us.
Yeah, I actually got to interview Chez for Motopod last year. I believe it was here this round. Really good guy. So, but anyway, well, Cam, I know you got to eat some lunch here and get some nutrition in. You get ready for this race coming up later today. It's going to be a hot one, but I know you're ready for it, and you know, we appreciate you joining us here on Motopod. You know, best wishes for the rest of this weekend and for the rest of the season.
Cool, thank you very much for having me on. Yeah, let's go racing.
Cheers.